This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yay! Back again, back again, back again.
Yeah. Back again. Last week, I was just sitting in this room being like, where's Matt? What happened to Matt? Matt, are you there? It's me, Shelby.
I had truly the most horrific sinus infection that I have ever had. And I'm now trying to figure out if it was actually a sinus infection or if it was some sort of allergic reaction to this shot that I had the previous week. But on Sunday, I just started to feel like my head was getting congested, and it got so congested that then I had this nasty headache, and then I was feeling super nauseous, and I couldn't look at screens. I couldn't do anything. I was just laid in my bed and had my eyes shut, and I couldn't even lay in a different position other than on my back, to the point that when I got up finally on Wednesday and was feeling slightly better, I was like, why do I have rashes on the back of my arms? And it's oh, I had bed sores. Miserable.
That is gnarly. Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. Well, God really gives his toughest challenges to his strongest soldiers.
I don't want to be sick anymore. I hate this.
I'm so sorry. That's hilarious. You had bed sores. You know what? Representation matters. And I'm glad that you're sharing your truth here.
Yeah. It's the cancer. Really brave. Is getting better, but then with that, now it's I have all of these random things from having a crappy immune system for several years. Yeah. And so now my body now I'm going to these different doctors, and it's okay, now it's time to actually take care of some of these other side problems that we haven't been able to take care of for a while. So it's just nightmare. Never get cancer. It's not fun.
Yeah.
Well, would not recommend.
The things people never tell you.
I know, truly.
Yeah, well, other than that, good week, good times, good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was sick most of last week, and then but I'm slowly getting better. I'm feeling, I don't know, I'm at 80% now maybe, so.
Have you been watching the Olympics?
I have not been watching the Olympics per se. I have been watching TikTok clips and things of it. So
the highlights.
Yes. So it's I saw the Rubik's Cube guy do the pommel horse. I saw the, Simone Biles do her Beyonce routine. I saw the very controversial opening ceremony drag number.
I gasp. Wee.
Which my initial thought was don't we all remember when Lost did the Last Supper photo shoot? Because I'm I feel I remember that when they did that for Entertainment that Weekly or whatever. And
that was
I'm
a big moment in your household.
Was that not sacrilegious as well?
Unclear. Last Supper. Well, I guess that was a really Christian, a really spiritual show. So maybe they didn't.
Maybe the Christians.
Oh my gosh, I don't even. This is never a part of my memory, but that's so funny.
Did you just look it up?
Well, yeah, I just Googled it.
And you don't remember that?
Live on air. No, I don't.
Wow,
but
fake
also,
Lost fan.
I think it's funny. The opening ceremonies was it wasn't actually the Last Supper, guys. Please calm down. And I feel this reactive culture we've had is just rotted our brains so much, because in a much darker, sadder, frustrating turn of events, there was this boxing match. Did you see this?
Oh, yes. No, I did see this.
Oh, my gosh. This girl gets knocked out so fast. She starts crying. She says it isn't fair. And then suddenly, all these news sites, like the Boston Globe, everyone's saying that it is a transgender player who knocked out this woman player, and it was so unfair. And so J.K. Rowling jumps in on it, and she's like, oh my gosh, like, how many women have to get punched in the face by men before we stop this? And J.D. Vance is out trouting his transphobic, you know, POV. And it turns out, like, no, like, this was all just regurgitated, like, fake news and misinformation. And the Algerian boxer, Khalif, was facing against the Italian boxer. And it was just like, they were both women. They both identified as women. They were both born women. And it's just that she didn't seem feminine enough for people to believe that. And so they were looking for this sort of like explanation of how this strong woman of color could knock out this poor, sad, weeping white woman. And it was all just very wild how quickly that happened and how much news got spread before every single official, from the Olympic board to the people who were being cited for having done this like sex test, were like, no, actually that never happened. And these are both women who have always been women and have always fought as women. So yeah.
Was there some sort of like chromosome thing that was different about the
misinformation?
Or was that not true?
That's what people were guessing, or that's what people, there was this, okay, she was part of this test for chromosome test, and they failed the sex identification because she had XY chromosomes, and so ergo, she must be, you know, chromosome, blah, 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 blah. But then it turned out that the person who they cited as running that test was like, no, actually, we'd never did that. So I don't know what you're talking about. So it was just like this bombshell of fake news.
So it was literally just two women.
Yeah. Yeah.
With no distinguishing features.
Yeah, no. It was just that they saw the masculine, I guess, features of this woman, and they decided, oh, well, this proves it. Like, she's actually a man, and it's actually the liberal agenda, and this is what happens. And now it's just unfair to women everywhere. But
wow,
I wanted to set the record straight that that's just literal fake news. So,
oh my gosh,
everyone needs to be better at just checking their sources and calming down and, you know, taking a beat and not trusting what J.K. Rowling's tweeting ever. So,
well, famously, Taylor Swift did once say you need to calm down. So she knew.
Yes, words I've taken to heart.
She knew.
She is a champion for trans rights.
Or was once, briefly.
Oh yeah. So the Olympics, good and bad. Good and bad news.
Good and bad news.
I was curious, what do you think your body's built for? You know, like, if you had had the forethought to be like, I want to be an Olympian, what do you think your chromosomes and DNA would best drive you towards?
Oh gosh. Well, let's see. Nothing that involves like balls and throwing and coordination. I feel like I don't have any of that. Like, I don't know.
I think you could be a rower. Do you think you could be a rower?
Maybe. See, the thing is, I have like a long torso and I have big hands and feet. So I'm sort of like, maybe I should have been a swimmer. Because isn't one of the things that's supposedly good for swimming? So I guess maybe that, but I don't
see that.
Do you have a hot take on what you'd be good at?
No, because I too am totally uncoordinated. Every time someone's like I was at this event once and they were like, what sport did you play? And I was like, I never played a sport. Like, please calm down. And they were like, oh, like, I feel like people say volleyball for me, but I have zero hand-eye coordination. So I don't know if that's something that can be taught, you know?
I don't think it is.
I'd be screwed. So I really don't know. I think I could be the person who dives into the pool to pick up like lost swim caps. So I could be like a team. Yeah.
Maybe you'd be good at like diving or something. I feel like that doesn't like that feels like it involves less coordination.
You think I can flip my body? Like, you think I could do that?
I don't know. I think the problem is that you sort of operate in like a slow Like, you're not necessarily like a fast moving person, I feel like. So speed perhaps is not your strong suit. Maybe like one of the shooting things, like, is your aim good? Could you be like an archer?
I don't think so. I mean, doesn't that require sort of hand-eye coordination in some way?
Yeah, but like
a reverse.
I mean, but you're just like maybe aiming. Do you have good eyes?
No, I have terrible vision. I have absolutely terrible vision. I think I could potentially do speed walking.
Yeah,
maybe I'm more for winter sports. Like, maybe that's the secret.
Oh, like luge?
I don't know what I'd do, but
you could just sort of lay on the thing and head down the hill. I feel like you'd be bad at skiing. No offense.
Well, joke's on you, because I know I'm bad at skiing. I did it for 4 years and never again. Never enjoyed it. Not a single time.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, 2028, you know, we have our chance. We can turn our lives around. Go for gold.
I guess so. Okay. Well, maybe we should do the two-man bobsled. Then we can compete together.
Aww. Cute. Well, I think the next Winter Olympics, no, they're going to go back to Salt Lake, so we can stay with my family while we train. It'll be great.
Oh, perfect. Great. Love that. We just got to buy a bobsled. How expensive could those be? I feel like low.
I mean, according to Cool Runnings, it seems pretty easy. Yeah, to just figure one out.
Well, no, the problem though is that we can't get in for America. We're gonna have to move someplace else and try to like get in for Lithuania or something.
Do you have ties there
to Lithuania?
Yeah, no. I think we need to be somehow a part of.
I mean, the problem is that all of my people are from cold places. So if we're competing in the Winter Olympics, I feel like we're gonna need some connection to like Ecuador or something. You know?
Yeah. Okay. I'll look into it. I'll figure it out.
So maybe we get in on like a Peruvian team via Rob's. Yes. Exactly.
Peruvian proxy. Well, I look forward to this new life. Adventure with you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Great. I was going to bring up the fact that apparently Beyonce is getting involved with the Kamala Harris campaign. I feel like maybe we discussed this briefly, but I've seen some like kind of blind item-y tweets from semi-reputable sources about apparently she has donated like $4 million to the Kamala Harris campaign already and has like cleared her schedule at various points to come to fundraising events. So that's apparently in the works, which I'm excited about. Beyonce's music was also used for all three of the gold, like the medal placing floor routines at the Olympics. So that also tells you something about
very cute
Beyonce in the world. And
Taylor Swift, right?
Was Taylor Swift also used in the floor routines that won?
Simone Biles starts with Ready For It, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah, I guess she does. Now that I'm thinking about
it. You blocked that from your memory.
Yeah,
that
I was like, out of your TikTok algorithm. Exactly. Yeah, my TikTok algorithm was like, no, it doesn't start here. It starts like, in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so that's a piece of news about Beyonce. My main thing that I feel like we need to discuss is the return of Robert Downey Jr. to the Marvel Universe as Doctor Doom, the villain in the new Fantastic Four movie, which this was announced at Comic-Con last week. And I'm sort of like, obviously Marvel's not doing well. I don't know if this is the move that's going to get people back. It feels a little confusing to me. Like, obviously, Robert Downey Jr. did well as Iron Man in the Marvel Universe, but, like, will the normies, like, understand that he is now playing a different character in the same world? Like, is that confusing to people? Is that not confusing? Is that exciting somehow?
Well, I think you're a normie in this instance, you know, so is it confusing to you?
Well, no, but, like, I cover Like what I'm
now at this point.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is like I know obviously this has happened from like casting announcements and stuff. If somebody just goes to watch Fantastic Four and then it's like, oh wait, Robert Downey Jr. is now playing the bad guy, like are they gonna be confused as to the Iron Man connection?
I don't know. I think it is stunt casting, so in a way I'd be surprised if anyone going to the movie wouldn't know about it, you know? Like, I feel like it's just a gimmick in that sense, and gimmicks are pretty easy to catch on to. I think the bigger issue is if it's just treading old ground, like if he's just Iron Man but a baddie, it's like, well, this isn't fun. You know, we already saw, like if he has Tony Stark's personality, then it's sort of like, okay. But then if he doesn't, then it's like, well, why don't you just cast someone else? And yeah, it was kind of, I feel like the audience even at Comic-Con was split on it, where some people were like disappointed because it feels kind of lazy and desperate. And then other people were like super stoked because it's so meta and like, what a twist. And like, yes, RDJ's back at it type thing. So I don't know. It's fascinating that they had to make all these adjustments because instead of Kong played by Jonathan Majors, they needed a new baddie. So they went to Dr. Doom. So they just kind of wrote out Kang completely, I think.
Well, yeah, because they even changed the name of the movie from Revenge of Kong or whatever it was to something else that I know. Can't remember.
It feels like I was watching some of the Comic-Con news come out, and it does seem sort of like obviously Marvel's still the mainstay. Like it's like everyone still is showing up for them. They haven't bombed completely, but I think the goodwill is faltering, especially outside of the major fans. And it felt like Comic-Con just highlighted this constant like need for gimmicks, where it's just like, look who's in this. Oh, plot twist. Oh, the Russo brothers are actually going to come back. Oh, like, I don't know. I'm curious how it'll play out, but I also just feel like it'll be about as middling as these MC movies have been lately.
Yeah,
Did you see Deadpool?
No, I did not. I was going to see it, but then I got sick. And and I hadn't seen the first two, and I didn't really need to see it for work. So I was kind of like, maybe I'll just skip this one.
Yeah. Well, that too had so many like gimmicks, because again, it's like a very meta sense of humor where he's constantly breaking fourth wall. And so there's a ton of cameos, and a lot of them tie into this next phase of Marvel. Like there's Fantastic Four references, and like, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how they kind of dig themselves out of this hole that they've dug for themselves. And I'm not sure Robert Downey Jr. was the right angle to go with.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think that they just need a reset. I think there's there's too many pieces involved, and it doesn't seem like they're really working to pull things off. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I kind of think we need more like standalone-y kind of content and less like everything tied together, and I don't know if this
well you're not getting it.
I know.
I think it's just all this metaverse stuff. It's all like you have Thunderbolts that ties into the Marvel shows, and stars Florence Pugh in her Black Widow, you know, character,
right? And I just don't think it's gonna work.
Yeah, and then you have the Captain America movie coming out, which I think is sort of set in reality. So there's not like they don't travel to a different metaverse again. But then, yeah, what else is, and Fantastic Four is sort of weird looking. Like it's all kind of hooky, and it all plays with this. Oh, the time. I don't even remember what it's called. Like even Deadpool was concerned with the time police industry that's set up in Loki. And it's all just kind of tangled and messy, and none of it makes sense. And it's all just like
in Deadpool 3, at least, like was a third in a trilogy. So presumably people went and saw it because they liked the first two Deadpool movies. But I don't know if random groupings of characters that you sort of kind of liked in previous things is going to help. Like, I think if they did like a Shang-Chi 2 or like another Black Panther or something like that, those might do well. But I don't necessarily know if watching Thunderbolts is going to get people to the theater, or Blade or whatever. Like, some of these, it's just like, I don't think anybody wants that.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
it's an interesting time, you know?
Yeah.
How far they've fallen. Did you hear the discourse on Ballerina Farm? Has that crossed your algorithm at all?
No. Yeah. What is that?
Okay. So Ballerina Farm is this Instagram account that is sort of the unspoken representative of the trad wife movement, which is that like uber conservative, like return to your homes women, raise children, and very pastoral, and like let the husband do the money making and you do the caretaking type of thing. So like traditional housewives is the thing, but they have a political slant to them in that they are pushing this agenda. But Ballerina Farm is this really, you know, gorgeous woman who lives in Utah on a farm with her husband and 8 children. And she used to be a ballerina who was like accepted into Juilliard before she dropped out to marry this guy. And so she's just been famous for all this like homemaking content and like milking cows and making her own butter and collecting eggs with her, you know, blonde children. And so whatever, always on the peripheral, but she got the Times did a piece on her, like did a whole piece, like a sort of a feature on her, but it felt more like an expose or like a gotcha thing. And it went viral because it seemed like this woman was deeply unhappy. Like she was talking about how the reporter was like, I could never get a word from her. Her husband was always talking over her. Her kids were always pulling her attention. She like confessed that her husband wouldn't let her have pain relievers like epidurals during births, but she got one day. She got one time and it was amazing. And she seems to miss like doing ballet and she regrets this life. And sometimes she's so depressed she can't even get out of bed for weeks on end, you know, type thing. And so then there's this whole controversy of, oh, look, poor Ballerina Farm. Like she needs to get a divorce. She needs to break free. Like she's been indoctrinated by this evil, gross man, which isn't funny. But then they had to come out with a second piece that was like, actually that it wasn't that bad, guys. And like, she seems to really like this life. She's really happy with it. So like, leave her alone. And for her part, Ballerina Farm is just like, kind of ignoring it. Like she's like, I love my life, like let's move on, here's a product we're creating with our cow's milk, congrats to me. But then you have the trad wives believers, the trad wives followers, who are like, this is what the liberals want to destroy, is women's, you know, oh, you see a woman raising a family and you just assume she's miserable, but you're the miserable ones. And so it's sort of this like political, you know, line in the sand on these message boards and comment threads, and everyone's talking about it, and it just seems like we've lost the plot somewhere. But I'm shocked that, I mean, I guess I'm not shocked when I think about it, but this has been, everyone has been asking me my opinion because it's like cross sections of my interests. But the truth is, I do not care about Ballerina Farm. I think it's like, she reminds me of very much like the Mormon culture. And I believe that she does feel happy and that she does feel fulfilled. And also, I want to point out that this is not something you can dream for or look up to, because she married the son of the JetBlue owner. So they have millions and millions of dollars. So it's like, that's what annoys me about this sort of pastoral like dreamscape, is that it's really not realistic. And they have a lot of privilege that they keep hidden behind the scenes to like paint this picture of, oh, isn't it wonderful to just care about only this? And it's like, well, there's a lot of privilege behind that. But I don't know. It's been interesting to see both sides of the internet melt down for and against her in the face of a single news cycle. going back and forth on if she's a victim, if she's a perpetrator of, you know, sexist ideals, blah, blah, blah. But I needed to get that out of the way because I can't talk about it anymore. Like, I'm over it. Ballerina Farm, gotcha. May she rest in peace, you know?
R.I.P. Yeah, the influencers in general are so interesting because they are so fake in a lot of ways. And then when, yeah, you add the sort of Republican kind of homemaker aesthetic over top of it, it's like, have we not learned at this point that there is no such thing as like the perfect family or the perfect life? Like, anybody who seems to have that on Instagram or whatever, it's not real. Like, it will, there's something else going on. Like, I don't know. It's crazy to me that we're still pushing this narrative. And tying in to people who seem like they have it all, she's so lucky, she's a star, but she cries all alone in the dark. We are getting a Britney Spears biopic, is apparently in the works, from the director who is currently doing Wicked and who did Crazy Rich Asians. This seems like a horrific idea that will go terribly wrong to me, but do you have any...
That's fascinating. So John Chu, right?
Yes.
Is it in like with Britney Spears, or is it just unauthorized?
He's attached to direct an adaptation of her memoir. Oh. So presumably this would involve her.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean, I think we've proven that a biopic is very difficult, especially with someone so recent in the, like, current in the zeitgeist, because, like, you have Amy Winehouse's documentary. I mean, Amy Winehouse's biopic that's just completely fallen off, and you have, I mean...
The Whitney Houston one that didn't do well.
They're just all bad. Like, they're usually bad, and if you get one good one, it's, like, very rare. And it's usually something unexpected, like Priscilla, you know? But a full-life biopic of someone whose life has been rehashed in detail just recently seems kind of hard to imagine. Like, how do you cast a young Britney Spears? I don't know.
Well, some people are saying that Sydney Sweeney should play Britney Spears, which I think is so funny.
Is that someone you? Is that...
No, that's like online.
You're the Twitter.
The best fan casting that I've seen for it so far is Tate McRae, who I do think would do a good job with the like singing, dancing kind of sections of it. I don't know if she's a good actress though, so that remains to be seen.
Maybe
I assume they would get an unknown person.
Maybe if M. Night Shyamalan's daughter goes blind.
No, not M. Night Shyamalan's daughter.
She can be. She can be a young Britney.
Lady Raven.
Now that she's cut her teeth, yeah.
We will be talking about M. Night Shyamalan's daughter a lot in the Thursday episode on Trap, but we cannot get into that right now. Do you want to discuss Love It or Hate It?
Yeah. You know what? Let me just say, I saw Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
Deadpool x Wolverine. And it was, I had a good time. I think... They've never really been my cup of tea. It's a lot of Ryan Reynolds, you know, snark. But I think having Wolverine there helped break up his very specific sense of humor. And there were some really fun cameos. Like, I mean, there were some unexpectedly fun moments of meta humor and stuff that sort of justified the long runtime. The story makes absolutely zero sense, though. Like, it does not make any sense. It's sort of this... I couldn't even tell you what the tension is. Like, it was like they needed to bring back Wolverine from the dead. So he goes to a different world, a different timeline to get that Wolverine to come save his. And that Wolverine is grumpy. And so then there's this back and forth where they're sort of thrown into it, but then they get trapped. They get trapped in this, in the like dead zone from Loki, you know, where once you're zapped by the time police. You get it. You're following? Yeah, you get it.
No, I'm not actually.
And while
following
there, there's
all,
a
but...
secret society. There's another society of these abandoned people from different timelines. And so then they need to get out of that. But to get out of that, it requires a collection of, you know, odd little team being built. It's all very weird, very illogical and strange, but there were some fun comedy bits in it. So it's doing supremely well. I mean, they don't need me to gun for it, but I will say it was probably the only use of the metaverse that was funny enough to justify the boringness of the metaverse. Like, you know, all these people are the same no matter where he goes. The worlds are barely different, blah, blah, blah. It's not like he found a rock version of Wolverine, you know. It wasn't giving everything everywhere all at once, but it was having enough fun as a Disney property to feel a little bit, you know, a little bit edgy, a little bit edgy, you know, just enough.
Okay, just well, enough. I probably won't watch it unless I'm forced to at some point, but yeah. Thank you for that.
I'm gonna need a doctor's notes going forward to make sure that you're getting out of these episodes on a real health crisis and not just because you didn't want to see Deadpool in theaters.
I know. It was very suspicious, the timing of my falling ill. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, my sickness did not keep me from watching this season of House the Dragon, which I had to watch for work. Mm. And the season 2 finale was yesterday. And generally, Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon end on big battles, on twists, on big deaths, on spoilers. This was the most bland, boring finale. It felt like a setup episode from like the middle of a season somewhere. And really, the last battle, or the only sort of battle sequence this season, was in episode 4. And then the last 4 episodes have all been set up for apparently nothing. And the season was just so dull. Everybody online was complaining about it. Nobody liked it. They announced today that there's only going to be 4 seasons of the show. So I'm kind of confused as to how they're going to like wrap everything up in 2 more seasons, because there's still a lot of book territory left to get through and a lot of wars and battles and things. So it's very bizarre, and I don't understand what HBO/the Game of Thrones people were thinking by having a finale that just really like had nothing in it. Like, it was all just sort of weird random talking scenes. There was no altercations or deaths or anything. And I don't know that after the end of Game of Thrones was so bad, how much stamina people have or how much grace they're willing to give a show that's not doing well, that's in that same universe, that feels like it's equally poorly made. So I think we might be seeing some Marvel fatigue hitting at the same time as the Game of Thrones fatigue. It's like, I think people are just kind of tired of franchises at the moment and want just sort of one-off stuff that's good, rather than to have to slog through franchise stuff that's long and doesn't do well. So anyways.
Oh, wait. But this reminds me. Have you seen Mother's Instinct?
No, I did not see Mother's Instinct, which is the Jessica Chastain Anne Hathaway movie. It came out in New York, and it played, and it said, oh, it's playing the Regal Cinemas in Union Square. And I thought, this was last weekend, and I thought, oh, I'll go see it. It was doing one screening a day at 10 a.m.
That's crazy.
What is happening? So I guess Neon they're just sort of dumping it. And I don't know when it'll be out on VOD or whatever. Yeah.
It's absolutely wild. Which is weird, because it had like a really positive response to the trailer. Like, positive in a it got people talking way, even if people were sort of like, oh, this looks so camp. So it's interesting that they would say this isn't even like worth a single ad or even putting it on streaming. It seems like after the success of The Idea of You or something, studios should recognize like, people will love people to sit around and make fun of something.
Well, I mean,
or not even make fun of something, but like just enjoy something new, something different, something like unexpected and not linked to this bigger IP. At the very least,
it's like 2 big stars. You know, it seems like that it would get some people to go and watch it. Like, there's stuff that goes into theaters that I think has less potential than this.
Yeah.
It's very, very baffling. Fascinating.
I was surprised, because I had thought about, like, where is that movie? When is Matt going to make me watch that movie for this show? And then I just saw one random person. Yeah, I saw one random person write about it, and they're like, this was so hard to see. And they left, and they're like, yeah, it wasn't like award-winning, but it was by no means the worst movie you've ever seen in theaters. So it's weird. I think that just speaks to how daft these studios can actually be, and their stupid little algorithms being like, people want more, people want this and people want that, and we know the math and we did it all correct. And yet over and over again, the theaters are being surprised by what works, what doesn't. Like, it just seems more and more like people just want to be surprised and engaged and a part of something, sort of the underdog of the movie world. And so they'll show up for the weirdest stuff.
Yeah.
Which should be Mother's Instincts and not Game of Thrones take two, season yep. two.
Unfortunately, the spot that Mother's Instincts should have gotten in theaters went to a far worse movie, M. Night Shyamalan's Trap, which we will be discussing in depth on Thursday. It's set at a concert. I have lots of questions and thoughts about all parts of this baffling movie. And I am very excited to discuss with you, a concert expert, Taylor Swift
yes, thank
fan.
You.
That feels like this should come in handy when discussing this movie.
Yeah. I agree. I look forward to it.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back Thursday to discuss Trap. Mwahaha. Bye.